Welcome back to Dating Games, a modern relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week founded Style My Profile, a personal styling and dating coaching business, which has been featured by the New York Times, The Today Show, plus as author of the book titled The Art of Online Dating. I'm delighted to be joined by Alyssa Dineen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, it's brilliant to catch up with you. Like I was saying to you off air, it's really nice that we get to contrast a lot of the funny stories of the comedians we speak to, and indeed oftentimes the people in the dating industry, with the practical tools for how to, you know, hopefully get past some of those awkward dates or some of those disaster dates, which make for great stories, yeah, but aren't necessarily our long-term plan.
Right, exactly. That's true. They do make good stories, though.
Before we get into yours, do you mind setting the scene a little bit of working with your clients at the moment, where you're finding people are at in terms of going back out into the dating scene if they've been maybe away from it more with COVID?
Yeah, actually, I found that even just a few months after, you know, quarantine, even when people were still, you know, at home most of the time, people were really eager to still meet with people outside or with a mask or however, even just by video. I think people were really lonely. Like when quarantine first started, everyone was like, oh, I'm just going to put dating on hold. I'll reach out to you in a few months. And then when we realized that it was going to be, you know, going on and on, we, you know, quickly people started reaching out saying, you know, I really am ready to put myself out there, even though I know it's kind of a weird time. I think people are really feeling alone at home and really ready to meet somebody, even just in a casual way, you know. And I actually, quite a few people told me that they met somebody online and then they just basically quarantined together, you know? So that was interesting. I feel like there was a lot of like sort of COVID forced relationships that maybe wouldn't have happened, but you know, I think it got people through. So now definitely people are really, you know, out there fully in New York, at least, or in the US. So
That's interesting. And I think you're right. I hear that from a lot of people that their relationships that were new in the pandemic could be really accelerated by this experience, because in so many places in the world, there was not really a middle ground in the restrictions between this is somebody that lives in your home and this is somebody that doesn't. And your relationship to them didn't necessarily change the rules. And so you sort of had to make that big choice, perhaps a lot sooner than you would have done.
Right, right. It's true. Yeah. And people just, you know, like, let's go get tested and then start hanging out together and, you know, being in a pod, basically. So, yeah.
And I have so much respect for that when people were like, you know what, we're in this time, but I know that I still want to make connections with people and that I can find ways to do it in a safe way. I was definitely one of those people that certainly when the restrictions were lighter at one point, I very much was like, okay, we're going to try the outdoor walking dates and see how those go. And they were strange, but it's kind of an experience I'm glad I had.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I a lot of my clients did the walk in the park date or the, you know, sitting on a bench far apart date. So it was, people got in pretty inventive. And I even had a client who met somebody online and they had a full video relationship and they did all these dates. They came up with all these unique ways to have video dates where they could get to know each other, but not, you know, not have to meet in person yet. And so they did that for several months and then finally ended up meeting and in person, but it took them a while. It was interesting. They actually really did do the video thing for quite a while and they were doing like weekly video dates and doing like they'd order from the same restaurant or they'd make a cocktail together or they came up with all these cute ideas, you know, of how to make it interesting.
Yeah, that sounds really lovely and actually great entertainment in COVID times, you know, like so many of us were doing similar things with friends.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly.
And something else that I've been interested to experience certainly firsthand and also what I hear from others is how, as we come out of the pandemic, I think a lot of us are feeling very conscious of the ways in which our social skills may have slipped, and particularly around dating. I think there's a lot of self-consciousness at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, even without dating, people are feeling self-conscious in social situations, even just in work situations or, you know, just with friends. I think it feels a little awkward to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So with dating, that's obviously compounded.
Yes, absolutely. And I may circle back to you about that later, actually, and see what kind of tips and advice you've had for your clients. But for now, hopefully we can go back to one of your own dating experiences that you've got in mind.
Yeah, well, so I met my partner online on Tinder, actually. It's been almost 5 years. But before that, I put several years into online dating, which is, you know, how I started to style my profile. But I was divorced, so I'd been with my ex for almost 20 years and was completely new to all of this. So I felt a little bit like a, you know, in a way, sort of like a teenager dating again, because so much of it was new to me. Mm-hmm. You know, the messaging, the texting, the, you know, even just like having sex for the first time after, you know, being with the same person for so long, all of those things were so new and felt like, you know, I really felt like I was, you know, just naive in a lot of ways to online dating. So it took me a little while to get used to it. But one of my first dating experiences, it was probably a few months in, and I met somebody who was quite a bit younger than me. He was maybe 10 years younger. And we had a really nice first date. He seemed great. We actually had a really lot to talk about. There was like chemistry, you know, we kissed goodnight. He wanted to see me again. I wanted to see him again. We messaged back and forth, and the day that we were supposed to go out, he texted me and he said, "I got some Molly and I, you know, I wanted you to come over and I thought we could do Molly," and blah, 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 you know, went on to this whole tangent about that. And I was like, yeah, I have children. that's not my thing right now. That may have been 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but not now. And I said to him really politely, I was like, yeah, I can't do that. I have kids. I have to get up in the morning. You know, that's not going to work. And he got so angry with me and he started like calling me and texting me angrily, like, "You're using that as an excuse. You just don't want to see me. You just don't want to, you know, let your guard down. You know, you're using your children as a, you know, as an escape," and blah, blah, blah. It was like all this stuff. So he was the only person in my whole experience online dating that I had to block. And everybody else, I never had to do that ever again. But that was my one blocking experience, because he wouldn't let up about the fact that I didn't want to do Molly on our second date.
Wow. I don't know what to say to that. Is that some sort of complex filtering system of like, this has to be a test that they pass if they can handle this strange shift?
Yeah. In our pattern. Yeah. It was definitely some sort of test for him, you know, on his, you know, on his terms. But yeah, it was just funny. I was like, maybe you need to start dating, you know, people that are younger and don't have children, and you know, maybe you're going for the wrong age group. So yeah, it was pretty amusing. After the fact, it was amusing. In the moment, I was a little freaked out by it. But
yeah, well, yeah. Particularly if he'd seemed very sweet and sort of standard in his behavior up till
then. Potential. Yeah, there was definite potential, I thought, in the first date. Yeah.
But I'm glad that you didn't have, by the sound of it, a lot of negative experiences in terms of him at least being the only person you blocked. So what sort of reasons did you find other people weren't the right match for you at that point?
Well, I really made a point of, you know, I talk about this in my book. I really made a point of going out with all different types of people, all ages, all backgrounds, people from all over the world, people with all different types of jobs. Like I really wanted to, you know, I think when I got married, I was like, had this very narrow view of who I thought I should be with. And I completely checked the wrong boxes. They were definitely not the right boxes to be checking for a long-term relationship. I wanted somebody tall, and I wanted somebody creative and somebody who was ambitious, and that was really it. And so he fit those three boxes, but then really nothing else. So, you know, I really was conscious of that. And when I got back out there, I was like, I'm really going to go for all different types of people, all heights, all, all races. I mean, I was really like, I'm going to be really open-minded, and I'm not going to rule out anybody based on anything. Like if there seems to be some sort of dynamic, or like we're having some sort of, you know, rapport over messaging, I'm going to just make a point of meeting them in person. So I went out on a lot of dates, as you can imagine. And I started thinking of it as sort of like a social, you know, like a anthropological experiment in a way, you know, just each person I met just thinking about how I felt with that person. Like, how does this make me feel? And how does, you know, what do I like talking about? And what about my past do I want to share? And what do I want to know about other people? And just all the, every date was sort of like a way to get to know myself better. So even though I didn't have anything like terrible happen on any of my dates, I definitely had, you know, I was rejected many times. I, you know, whatever. I went out with guys that were misogynistic. I went, there's definitely like the negative things mm-hmm. that happened, but overall nothing crazy other than that one, it wasn't even anything that big of a deal, but you know, that was really my only bad experience, really fully bad experience. So I felt like I really gave it my all in terms of like just really putting myself out there in every way I could and really going into every date with as positive of an attitude as I could. And I think that's something that I talk to my, it is one of the things I talk to my clients about is if you go into every date assuming that it's going to be something negative or something bad, that starts to be just your, you know, voice in your head, just every date it's going to be mm-hmm. bad because that's what you're telling yourself. So just really trying to be as positive as possible. And that was really my goal for myself. And I try to encourage my clients to do that too. It's hard because online dating makes people feel really negative. So
For sure. And I think it's tricky because it is scary. Ultimately, you're putting yourself out there. You are meeting people who are ultimately strangers, even if you've, you know, seen five pictures of them and a profile and chatted a little bit. You don't really know who you're going to be meeting until you're there in person with them. And so I think it's very natural to have your guard up. And yet making this work necessitates that as much as you can, you try and be really open. And I totally agree with what you said there about what I would describe as like a confirmation bias, that if we go into a situation thinking it's going to go badly, we can be so attracted to examples of that. And we can almost look for or frame things as being that, you know. And I was listening to Damona Hoffman's podcast, a past guest on the show, and she was interviewing a guest who wrote somebody off because he came in and she didn't like his trousers. And she decided, that's not the guy for me. And anyway, long story short, that's now who she's married to long term. And, you know, it's that difficult balance we have to find, right, of being open, but also being aware of red flags, trying to really get the measure of this person, but also measuring in a realistic way.
Yeah. And I think what I hear a lot is, well, you know, I'm open-minded, but, you know, I don't want to just settle, you know, and that's not the point. I'm not saying, you know, you should just settle for someone who, you know, who likes you back or something like that. It's not so simple. It's, you know, it's much more complex than that. But I think even just putting yourself in positions where you're meeting a different type of person than you usually, you know, stepping outside your usual type is, you know, really important because, you know, as I said, with what I thought was my type is completely not, should not be my type at all. And, you know, and the person I ended up with was not my type, quote unquote, but he ended up being a great partner for me. And I tell this story a lot, but I think it's so relevant to online dating. It took me until date number four to feel anything other than just a friendliness towards him. And everyone's like, well, why did you keep going out with him if you didn't feel anything? And it was like, well, I liked him as a person. I was like, I could see us being friends. And so I kept going out with him. He was asking and I was saying yes. So we went out and it wasn't until the fourth date that all of a sudden it was like all the sparks were there. And then it was like, I was so glad that I didn't just rule him out based on the fact that there was no sparks. And that's something that I talk about a lot is like, the whole idea of sparks on a first date is such a bad barometer of a long-term relationship, like your friend with the, you know, he had bad pants on or whatever it is. It's like that, you know, you can't just go based on one meeting really. And, you know, and of course, again, of course, like the gauge being like, do I think this person is, you know, is a nice person? Would I be friends with them? And, you know, and if you would, then I think it's definitely a good idea to give them a second or third or even fourth chance. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, I hear a lot of clients call me the next day after a date saying, oh my God, we had so much chemistry. It was great. It was great. And then 2 weeks later, they'll say, oh yeah, we never went out again. You know, nothing ever happened, you know? And it's like, that's usually, I would say 90% of the time when there's major chemistry, it's not necessarily an indication that it's going to be a long-term thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in many ways, we're sort of predisposed to not only want to feel that, but also feel it to an extent because there is such feeling around going on a first date. There's such emotion there, whether it's nerves, whether it's excitement, whether it's hope or even dread. And so I think it can be very possible for that to transition into then this feeling of sparks, which I think most of us would struggle to describe exactly what that is. And so sometimes you can come away from the date and you're like, oh, I'm not actually sure what it was they said or what it was they did that produced that, you know, and that's why this process of dating, I think, is so key to be like, okay, well, let's spend enough time around this person where, you know, I can get a measure of you rather than just a snapshot.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, so many people go into a first date feeling really, really nervous, you know, and even if they don't seem nervous, they are in some way, and they're not showing their entire personality, that's for sure. And, you know, and I think a lot of people, you know, they're not as funny as they maybe normally would be, or maybe they're so nervous that they're just like constantly cracking jokes and that's not normally how they are. You know, it's like people respond to being nervous in different ways. And, you know, I think it's, when you think about it, there's so many first dates are two people feeling equally uncomfortable to some degree. And how can you possibly get a real feeling on that from that, you know, in an hour? And the answer is you really can't. And I think that, again, like, as long as you don't think the person is, you know, whatever, a horrible human being, then I think that it's worth giving somebody another chance. But, you know, I have to say, like, the majority of people don't see it that way. You know, people really want to believe in that immediate chemistry. And I don't know if that's like from movies or, you know, I don't know where that actually comes from. I mean, I was the same way. You know, I think we're all that way at some point in our lives. I definitely was in my teens and early 20s. So, yeah.
No, I think you're right. And when you take the time to step back from that, you then start to wonder, well, would that even be aspirational? You know, if I've met somebody and I've got a measure of them within a single meeting and I know whether I want to be with them, you know, long term, because that's what we're trying to decide, right? That we're in that initial meeting and the temptation is, okay, do I want to be with this person forever? Because that's, I guess, a lot of the societal pressure of that's the decision to make. And actually, not only is the decision really like, is this person okay for a second date? You know, that's how I try and frame what that first date is about. Yeah. Are they who they say they are? You know, are there any major red flags? You know, these are the sort of things to be ruling out. And on the flip side of that, if you did meet someone and you think, yes, I want to be with this person forever, is that person going to hold your attention long term? If you already think you've figured them out on a first date.
That's actually a good point.
Right. Yeah. Then you're sort of like, okay, maybe they're fitting, you know, you really want to pair up with somebody and they seem like a candidate for that, as opposed to, I don't think there's any version of it where you can meet somebody and be like, yeah, you fit in my life long term, even though I've spent no time around you, not seen you around my friends or family or anything.
Right, you
know,
right.
These factors.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's so true. That's actually a really good point. You know, if somebody is so easy to read in a first meeting, are they going to be, you know, I guess, yeah, like a good long-term partner that's going to keep your interest? Exactly.
Yeah. And also, are you making a clear decision about them, or are you going on the surface level stuff that, you know, can be a good indicator, but again, I would argue an indicator of a second date
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Them being pretty is not the basis for everything.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You, and I mean, that's the other thing that's so hard about online dating is you're going based, everyone's going based on those photos. You know, I mean, I really do believe a lot of people do read the bios too, and that's important, but you know, everyone's going on those photos. And so much of somebody's sex appeal and attractiveness and all of that is from their personality and their body language and, you know, even the whole thing about how they smell or all of those things, I think, are so important. And you can't really get that, or you can't get that at all from just a few photos. And so, you know, really, I mean, it's like, I can't stress the importance enough of just like meeting somebody in person, you know. And I mean, video dating is good for like an immediate, like a first time, you know, let's meet for 15 minutes over a video call to see if it's, you know, I really encourage people to do that, especially if you're, you know, for my clients that live in suburbs or rural areas, like you're not going to want to go on a first date and like drive an hour to meet this person, you know, it's like doing an initial video date, even that, at least you can get somebody's body language and that kind of thing. But really it's meeting in person is when you really get a full picture of somebody. And, you know, and so much of, you know, with, I think of my partner too, I mean, his photos were fine, but like nothing. I mean, he had one really good photo and the rest were really kind of duds. And, you know, he was so different in person because of his personality. And it was so much more attractive to me. Well, again, after a few dates, his personality was so much more attractive in person than it was, you know, in a photo. So I think that's so important to, for everybody to remember. And I, you know, I think what you said about like, do I like this person enough to go on a second date? That is a real, that's such a key point right there. And if everybody could think that way, I think it would make a huge difference in online dating because, you know, I try to encourage, especially my divorced clients who are middle age and, you know, maybe they've grown kids and they've already sort of done that and they don't necessarily want to get married again. I always say like, just look for somebody who you want to go out to dinner with here and there at first, you know, just see if you can get to that point, like somebody who, you know, you'd want to go see a movie with, you want to make dinner at home with, you want to, you know, go out to a new restaurant, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be your soulmate, you know, it could just be somebody fun to hang out with. You know, and I think that that reframes it for a lot of people too.
Oh, absolutely. And I relate to that a lot in that I think I'm somebody that I'm both comfortable in my singledom, but also I have a lot of really brilliant connections through my friends. And one of the things I've realized through making this show is that a big part of that is that over the years, my picker has been better for friendships. And I find that sort of odd, but you know, I think a lot of how that's explained is I have a lot of great friends, and those are relationships where, like you say, you get into them and there isn't as many pressures. We're not maybe going in with as many preconceived expectations and, you know, demands potentially of what we want out of that relationship and who the specific person needs to be. And so I think in that freedom, friendship can really blossom, but also there should be ways that we can bring that into our dating, exactly like you say, find people that we want to connect with and have a good time around, and then see if things develop from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love that, the point you made about friendships too. It's so true. I think that's something that evolves, you know, as we get older too, is picking friends that are really, you know, make you feel good about yourself, you know, because that's also something that we do as young people is go for friends that are like cool or, you know, go to the most fun clubs or whatever it is that you're into. And they're not necessarily the best friends for you, right? You don't necessarily feel like yourself around them. And I think the same goes for dating. You know, I think just really focusing on, does this person make me feel good about myself? And does this person make me feel like I can really be my true self and let my guard down? And, you know, and I think that's, it's hard to do, obviously, and that doesn't happen on the first date. But, you know, I think that's important to remember.
Yeah, because it's interesting to me how separate those skills can be seen at times. And I've certainly been someone that's done this in my own mind where I've said, no, I'm great at making friends, but I'm bad at getting into relationships, or maybe I'm bad at sustaining good, healthy relationships, or picking a lot of it I've realized is picking the right person to pursue that with in the first place. Yeah. And it's interesting how we can sort of separate this, or we think we, you know, we can find a good partner, but we're not as good at making friends. Sometimes I hear it less so that way around. And I wonder for you how much you think these kind of beliefs can be self-limiting for people, that I'm bad at dating, and therefore, again, that sets your expectations low and maybe your standards.
I think it's such a huge part is what, you know, what your inner voice, what you're telling yourself is so important. And, you know, I had a client for a while who every date she would go on, she would go into it thinking, you know, oh, I don't know if he's going to like me, and oh, should I wear this? Or maybe that's not going to look good. And I don't know, last time I went on somebody, he, you know, he was so rude and he never called me again. Like, it was every date she went into, is this person going to like me and want to ask me out again? And, you know, her therapist actually was the one who said to her, what about going into every date thinking, am I going to like them? You know, you know, will I go into this date and actually want to go out with this person again myself? You know, and I think that was such a great way to look at it too, is, you know, it's true. I think a lot of us do that. Like, every date you're nervous because you're worried, are they going to like me? And I think that if you go into it thinking, am I going to want to go out with this person again? You know, and I think that's really important too.
Yeah, points for that. And another thing I'm really interested in your perspective on, that I've learned from talking to, I would say, even most of my guests at times, is how not only is there this mentality of a lot of people feeling they're very bad at dating, and there's maybe skills that they're missing out on, or there's some strategy other people have, some place where everyone else is meeting partners, and if only they could find it. And I do think part of that, it becomes very binary there, where they think there's people that are good at this stuff and people that are bad. And particularly speaking to guests who are in long-term relationships, you know, they'll often tell me the opposite, where they're like, oh, I couldn't do dating, I couldn't go back to it, you know? And so it's not that they suddenly got brilliant at relationships and that's why they're in a long-term one. No, they made it work with one person, and they can tell you far more failed dates.
Right. Oh, completely. 100%. That's so, it's so true. I mean, I feel like, you know, what I hear over and over again is, oh, online dating doesn't work. Oh, it's not working for me. Oh, you know, like you said, I think everybody assumes that everybody else is having this amazing time online dating. And it's really, it's so not that way. It's like, basically, you're just like sort of going on interview after interview in a way. for your next relationship. But it's really all about going into it with the best possible attitude you can. And if you go into it thinking online dating doesn't work, then it really is not going to work for you.
Exactly. It's the same thing. Yeah. You will find examples of it. You'll come across a profile and be like, this person is ridiculous or not chatty. You'll find all these examples, and there's plenty of them in the apps.
And there's plenty of bad examples that can reinforce your negative feelings. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I'd feel like really frustrated and like you'd have a few bad dates and, you know, just feeling like, or like you were having multiple conversations with people over the apps and then you get blown off by all of them. Like, there's those moments where you're just like, oh my God, this is, ugh, like, I can't do it anymore. And you're right. You go on there and you're just like, every person is like, no, 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 because you're in that mindset of being like, this is terrible and it's a bad experience and I'm not good at it. And, you know, no one's ever going to love me. You could go on and on with that spiral, but I definitely did that. And then it was like, you know, every single profile had something about it that was, you know, terrible or negative, you know, but it's like when you, I would try to see like the good in every profile, like something about the person, you know, that was interesting or, you know, I mean, obviously not every single profile, but a lot of them. I really was trying to stay very open-minded and it worked for me. So,
yeah. And we touched on at the top of the episode how it's a difficult time in many ways to be in the dating pool at the moment and still feeling, you know, somewhat cautious, even subconsciously, of connecting with people, and how we feel about the pandemic, and, you know, maybe times that we've felt isolated or that we've not been keeping up our social skills. And so what sort of challenges are you hearing from your clients around that? And what are you saying to them?
Yeah, I mean, people are still really, you know, still feeling, I don't know, like just unsure of how to make the move or meet somebody. And I mean, you even hear about like everyone's like saying whether they're vaccinated or not vaccinated. And, you know, there's so many things around that too. But I think overall, I feel like my clients are really open to meeting people and getting back out there just as they were pre-pandemic, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's really good to hear that sort of positivity, because one of the things that I'm seeing is that people on the apps seem to be, you know, less chatty and not kind of keeping up conversations as much. And to me, that would suggest a bit of a sort of one foot in, one foot out of the dating pool. Is that something you're saying as well, or are you finding it varies a lot?
Not really. I feel like, honestly, I mean, I feel like that happens kind of, you know, pretty routinely anyway with online dating, where, you know, I think that also it's just like phases in online dating too, in your own journey, like where people are like really responding and really asking out and really, you know, like it seems like it's really flowing and charging forward. And then there's times when it just feels so stagnant and, you know, you feel like no one's responding to you and no one's, you know, responding to you asking them out, or, you know, I feel like it goes through such cycles with that. But for me and my clients, I mean, from what I've seen, the pandemic hasn't really affected that now. I mean, maybe even 6 months ago, yes. But I think now it is really like, you know, like I said, like back in full form. So, yeah.
That's so interesting. And that's nice to, yeah, to give me some hope there, because I don't know if it might be, I would imagine in that case, it might be partly the different stages countries are at, that the restrictions have been so tough here in Ireland, and there've been such a sort of community spirit around really sticking to those restrictions that I feel like we're maybe behind, you know, New York, which in many ways got its peak very early compared to much of the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're right. And I mean, you know, the majority of my clients are in the Northeast. And so I would say the majority of people are vaccinated too. So I think that does make a difference. You know, maybe in other parts of the country, it's not quite as, you know, people might be a little, well, actually in other parts of the country, they're probably just ignoring all of it completely. So that's maybe not a good example, but I feel like we are somewhat ahead of parts of Europe where, you know, we kind of already went through the worst of it, hopefully. And, you know, I think people are really just feeling, you know, eager to meet somebody and get out there and be social and date again. Mm-hmm. So
that's nice. That's good to look forward to. People will rush back to the dating scene yet. And so on that note, we'll start wrapping up with our rules of the game. So we'll each choose something that we try and live by and would recommend in terms of dating and relationships. Have you got one in mind?
Yeah, well, actually, it's one that I have talked about during this interview, but it's the, you know, really being mindful of not having your old boxes to check, like really checking in with yourself and figuring out what is actually important in a partner. And not the things that I, you know, thought were important 20 years ago, but what's important now, and really keeping that in mind in your dating journey.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, points for that. Because I think it's something that can sound on the surface of it so simple. And yet, even just the process of writing a list, maybe be conscious of the length of your list. If you're going onto multiple pages, then there may be a way to explore that, because your pool of people will be getting really small the more pages you turn. And how many of those things are a priority or not is worth looking at. But I think absolutely, even just the process of going in and listing it out or talking it through with somebody else can really help sort of sharpen your mind for what am I really looking for today.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree. And that was actually one of my big parts of my dating experiences, journaling and just really kind of keeping in touch with what was actually going on. I mean, of course I was, you know, going out on all these dates and it was fun and, you know, I had my good and my bad dates, but I'd come home and I'd really like make myself think about like, okay, what about this person was great? What about this person was not? What was positive about them? What would I not want in a partner? You know, just making really like reflecting on, each date and really thinking about what it is ultimately that I want. And I felt like, you know, really, I felt like I really narrowed in on the right person for me. I felt like with each person I dated, I felt like I kind of got closer and closer to the right person. And I really do credit that to my list, like you were just saying, like, and it wasn't crazy long. It was fairly brief, but there were some important points on there.
Mm-hmm. But also, like you say, there's an evolution with it, and there should mm-hmm. be. And even yeah. I'm reminded of speaking to a friend the other day where she had a kind of realization about what she was looking for, and that was actually a lot of things that she'd spent so long looking for that she was unconsciously ruling people out with these elements that no longer mattered to her. And the two mm-hmm. in particular she noticed were that when she was younger, she really looked for somebody that would have their own place that they own and their own car that they own. And then she got to a point more recently where she realized, well, I have both of those things and I don't think I want to move in with anybody else. I'd rather they move in here because I really love my place and right. I really love my car and I've got this set up. And so perhaps, you know, that's something that no longer needs to be on the list because I'm probably in a place where I'm a bit too settled for other people's set up in that way to matter as much to me.
That's so great. And it's so great that she, you know, was in touch with that, you know, and I feel like that's part of the hurdle there is just realizing those kind of things and then not, you know, ruling people out based on those.
I'm drawing the insight from the conversation, but there was a lot of like, I don't know if I do want somebody's car clogging up my drive. You know, that was a part of it.
Right.
And so I think the same as you, I will add to something I mentioned earlier as my rule of the game. And that is around, we talked about this idea of like the feelings that you can have on a date and this, you know, hunt for chemistry in them. And it can always be as trusted as maybe it seems. And I would say mm-hmm. something that I've found very helpful to remind myself to do is, okay, absolutely, you can really connect and really feel a stir of emotions positively when you're with somebody. But then if you go away from the date and you're so excited to see them again, but you can't actually articulate why, then that in itself can be a bit of a red flag. You know, mm-hmm. absolutely, it's great that you had a good date, but also, what is it that was great about that date?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Because no, sometimes it's just you were purely excited to go on a date and it wasn't awful. And that is lovely. Go on the second date. But we still need to find, you know, find out what it is about that person.
Right. That is so true. That's great. Yeah. I love that.
It's also where, as a side note, it's a good way of drawing the difference between what is, you know, excitement and what is kind of nerves and butterfly feelings as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So true. Yeah.
All right. And so we will wrap up there then. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. I think we've already covered a lot. I'm feeling very reassured that the dating scene is coming back and that there's so many wonderful coaches out there like yourself with good, practical, relatable advice. And so if people want to find more of your work, where should they go?
They can go to my website, which is stylemyprofilenyc.com, and that has information about me and my services and also my book.
Mm-hmm. And if people are looking for something new on their reading list?
Yeah, so it's The Art of Online Dating, and it's my kind of, I think of it as like a guidebook for people that are, you know, either people that have been on the online dating journey or not, but I think it has something for everyone in that there's like practical tips and like tangible advice and about, you know, everything from, you know, styling your profile to going on that first date to, you know, mindset around dating. So, yeah.
I love that. And in a moment, we'll come back and do a little bit more for our subscribers because I'm really interested in chatting to you about what it is to style your profile, how we can put ourselves across in the best way to maximize our chances of meeting some really cool people. So for this part, we will wrap up here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening.
You can support the show, get ad-free episodes and bonus content by joining our new subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This replaces our Patreon and it's slightly cheaper.
Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta,
with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.